أسود التوحيد في دولة العراق الإسلامية ينطلقون نحو أهدافهم ليقضوا مضاجع المرتدين الذين عاثوا في الأرض.
This is the end of every Nusayri kafir that we get a hold of.
ISIL is creating a, an imagery that negative stereotypes of Islam, kind of diabolical, violent religion.
The fighting has just begun.
Tonight I want to speak to you about what the United States will do with our friends and allies to degrade and ultimately destroy the terrorist group known as ISIL.
They don't know what to do afterwards. So the only thing that they know how to do is to bomb.
In the 17th Division military base just outside the city of Al-Raqqa, and we're here with the soldiers of Bashar. You can see them now digging their own graves in the very place where they were stationed. We are the harshest towards the Kuffar. The fighting has just begun.
History does not have a rewind option, albeit sometimes it would serve as an invaluable tool if it did, not to be rewound to stop a catastrophe from taking place, but to grant us the opportunity to dissect and analyze the events that led up to it.
Math, ISIS may be worth at least $500 million.
ISIS has plans to commit terrorism and the plan total chaos.
The takeover
over here
of Mosul,
right now.
The second largest city in Iraq.
War against ISIS,
much more sophisticated.
It's been existing for a long time.
Since June of 2014, the world news apparatus has honed in on ISIL as it's unleashed a terror campaign across the deserts of northern Iraq until storming and taking Mosul, Iraq's second largest city. Images of mass killings, beheadings, and even crucifixions have shocked the world. Our social media has become saturated with these horrific images, which the terrorists have utilized to promote their wrath and propaganda. And as a result, many Muslim scholars have had to implore the world community not to associate these few thousand Takfiri madmen and their perverted interpretation of Islam with the over 1 billion law and God-abiding Muslims living peacefully under the true doctrines of Islam globally. In the next 25 minutes, you will witness the players both in front and behind the curtains of this diabolic group, who are funding, arming, and equipping them, and allowing ISIL to grow exponentially.
We don't believe that there's much reason to be too concerned about any collateral damage, you know, to civilian property, that kind of thing. But on the civilian casualty issue, certainly we take that seriously, and we'll continue to look at that and review that as we work through the damage assessment process.
For the third time in a decade, the United States has found a strategic excuse to inject itself into the Middle East through the establishment of a coalition. Time and again, these so-called coalitions have only succeeded in promoting deeper divisions throughout the region.
Imperialist countries, France and Britain, and then the United States and increasingly Israel, have been manipulating Islam and trying to exploit divisions, build up divisions in people's minds. One of the real major scenes of battle is in the imaginations, is in the minds of the people who need to support these war machines in the United States.
My fellow Americans, tonight I want to speak to you about what the United States will do with our friends and allies to degrade and ultimately destroy the terrorist group known as ISIL. As Commander-in-Chief, my highest priority is the security of the American people.
There is a problem with analyzing ISIL, and that is, the West has a political view about it. The U.S. regards it as a security threat, which must be destroyed by bombing, whereas ISIL is a social phenomenon rather than military.
The name of this Takfiri group has seen many variations: ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Islamic State, SIC, and Daesh. But why the alphabet soup, you may ask? The semantics can only be explained through a careful study of the group's emergence and ideology. Currently, most Arabic speakers call the group Al-Dawla Al-Islamiya fil Iraq wal-Sham, or Daesh. The name has widely stuck among Arabs, although the group's own members call it simply the state Al-Dawla, for short, or Islamic State. It started as a small but viciously effective wing of a resistance movement to the U.S. invasion of Iraq called Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Following the death of its founder, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, in 2007, Al-Qaeda in Iraq rebranded itself to the Islamic State of Iraq, or ISI. And it remained a small militant faction until Syria descended into conflict in 2011. That's when the group saw an opportunity it couldn't pass up. By 2013, the group had inserted itself into eastern Syria and took on the name of ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. In its next and most recent incarnation, as ISIS, the group sought to challenge colonialist borders by using an old Arab geographical term, Al-Sham, that applies either to the Syrian capital, Damascus, or to the wider region of the Levant. Hence the official American preference for calling it Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL, rather than ISIS. The Levant denotes a far larger region and consequently a far larger threat.
وهذا واجب على المسلمين واجب قد ضيع لقرون وغاب عن واقع الأرض فجهله كثير من المسلمين والذين يأثمون أي يأثم المسلمون بتضييعه وتغييبه وعليهم أن يسعوا دائما لإقامته
After releasing this video, this man launched himself into the spotlight, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He is reportedly to have been born in Samarra, Iraq in 1971. Reportedly, he received his PhD in Islamic studies from the Islamic University of Baghdad. Al-Baghdadi was announced the leader of the ISI in mid-May of 2010, following the death of his predecessor, Abu Omar al-Baghdadi. According to U.S. Department of Defense records, al-Baghdadi was held at Camp Buqqa as a civilian internee by U.S. forces in Iraq from early February to December of 2004 when he was released. A combined review and release board recommended an unconditional release of al-Baghdadi, and there is no record of him being held at any other time. And in late June of 2014, al-Baghdadi proclaimed the so-called Islamic Caliphate, an area stretching from northern Syria across northwestern Iraq to the province of Diyala, just northeast of Baghdad.
The caliph is usually recognized by people, but this is not true about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. People pledge allegiance to the caliph, but in ISIL's case, only the members of the group have done so, instead of the people.
Abu Muslim al-Turkmani, commander of ISIL in Iraq. Former army general under Saddam Hussein, former lieutenant colonel of Iraqi military intelligence. Decommissioned from the Iraqi army after U.S. forces arrived. Joined militants to fight Americans, spent time in U.S. prison in Iraq. Currently second in command under Baghdadi in Iraq. Abu Omar al-Shishani, commander for ISIL in Syria. Former Georgian army soldier and veteran of the Russo-Georgian War. Served in various command positions with terrorist groups fighting in Syria. Recently dispatched to command in Kobani. Abu Muhammad al-Adnani, official ISIL spokesman. Reportedly one of the first foreign militants to oppose coalition forces in Iraq. Arrested in May of 2005 by coalition forces in Al-Anbar Governorate in Iraq under a fake name, Yasser Khalaf Hussein Azal al-Rawi. Released in 2010. Recently ordered Western Muslims to carry out terrorist attacks.
Al-Qaeda has cut ties with an affiliate it says is too extreme.
ISIL has committed such heinous acts of barbarism and savagery towards both soldiers and civilians that by February of 2014, Al-Qaeda's leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, officially broke with the now rogue Baghdadi and the group. ISIL raided the Iraqi city of Mosul in June of 2014. According to government figures, it was the deadliest month since May of 2007. Nearly 2,000 people were killed. Official figures reported 1,393 civilians, 380 soldiers and 149 policemen among the dead. Another 2,610 people wounded, the majority civilians. Their organization and military prowess proved that this group had structure, strong intelligence, and sympathizers inside the country. A shocking revelation for anyone who was listening.
In fact, everyone is surprised because the way that they moved in June, the way that they moved from northeast Syria, crossing the desert, arriving near Mosul and capturing Mosul practically, in a day or two, everyone was surprised. First of all, because they were not the convoy was not identified by American satellites, which is in itself is completely absurd. Second, because they took Mosul so fast. Why? Because there was a collaboration to the Baathists, at least for that objective. Third, there was a collaboration with the Kurds as well, because the Kurds didn't intervene against ISIS until ISIS decided that maybe we're going to make a push towards Erbil in Kurdistan territory. That's different. You don't attack Kurdistan.
ISIL has reportedly accumulated over $2 billion in funds, making it the world's wealthiest terrorist organization. Many Mideast regional countries and their Western allies supported ISIL when they thought ISIL's endgame would benefit them. But when the reality of the situation started to set in, they played both sides of the fence for a while by both supporting and condemning the group at the same time. But the masquerade fooled no one, and the West and their friends knew the monster they had created was perhaps the worst one yet. Turkey offered far more than what Ankara dismisses as an easy border crossing. In fact, this footage shows ISIL terrorists casually chatting with Turkish soldiers on the Turkey-Syria border. They provided the bulk of ISIL's funds, logistics, training, and arms. Turkish residents near the Syrian border tell of Turkish ambulances going to Kurdish ISIL battle zones and then evacuating ISIL casualties to Turkish hospitals. Indeed, a sensational photograph has surfaced showing ISIL commander Abu Mohammed in a hospital bed receiving treatment for battle wounds in Hatay State Hospital in April 2014. When ISIL's notoriety brought Turkey unwanted publicity, Ankara bluffed it would help the so-called US-led coalition. Yet, as ISIL brought its campaign to within 50 meters of the Turkish border in the Syrian city of Kobani, Ankara just sat back and watched.
In our part of the region, we don't.
Although the Qatari emir bluntly denied his country gives ISIL financial support in a televised interview, an investigation traced a paper trail from Qatar to Kuwaiti banks and into ISIL coffers. As ISIL takes over town after town in Iraq, they're acquiring money and supplies, including American-made vehicles, arms, and ammunition. The group reportedly scored $430 million when they looted the main bank in Mosul. They also have a stream of steady income sources, including from selling extracted oil in the northern Syrian regions they control. ISIL has taken control of a major Syrian oil field, Al Omar. It's the second largest oil field and can produce 75,000 barrels of oil daily. Initially, a key component of ISIL's support came from wealthy individuals in Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia.
Today, the Turkish government is collaborating closely with ISIL. Whether we accept it or not, the Turkish government and ISIL together are stealing gas and oil from Iraq as well as Syria and exporting it through a pipeline at the port of Ceyhan in Turkey. In Turkey, a company which belongs to the Turk-Azeri billionaire transports this oil to the port of Ashkelon in Israel. This oil is then forwarded to Europe, where the anti-ISIL coalition purchases this oil and consumes it, saying, "Yes, yes, it's Israeli oil."
Achète ce pétrole et le consomme en disant, "Oui, oui, c'est du pétrole israélien."
Foreign policy documents that Israel has also given ISIL terrorists free treatment in its hospitals.
Israel, which we never mentioned in this story, they want complete chaos in terms of balkanization, fragmentation, and chaos. So Israel continues to be the most, I would say, the heaviest presence over here because they are a nuclear power inside the Middle East.
The so-called Islamic State has released new video in which it brags that it recovered weapons and supplies that the U.S. military intended to deliver to Kurdish fighters who are locked in a fight with the militants over control of the Syrian border town of Kobani.
Kobani peyvaste be manatak kurdi nist.
Kobani is not annexed to the Kurdish territory, nor is it part of the Kamushi and Haska in Syria. It has been under the siege from south, east, and west by ISIL, and it borders Turkey on the northern side. ISIL is looking forward to ruling these areas. It doesn't fight the Kurds there because of their ethnicity or being Sunni. ISIL fights Kurds to expand its hegemony and rule in Kobani.
My informed guess is that more or less they divided territory. They made an agreement. Okay, if you conquer Mosul, we're not going to interfere. If you try to interfere in Kurdistan territory, we're going to attack you. So if you stay in Sunni Iraq, it's okay. You can do anything you want. It's not our problem. And the fact that you go there would allow us to take Kirkuk for ourselves. And that's exactly what happened. The Kurdistan government, in fact, they took Kirkuk away from Iraq, and they're not going to give Kirkuk back. So in the future, if we have an Iraqi Kurdistan independent, Kirkuk, which is the source of oil, the most important element in this equation, is going to be part of Kurdistan. So there was a deal beforehand.
We are perfectly sure the heavy weapons there were brought by Saudi Arabia. They were transferred by airplane and shipped to Turkey, where the MIT, Turkish Secret Service, headed by Hakan Fidan, transported this in a special train convoy and delivered them to ISIL.
The first thing that ISIL does when taking control of a city is to empty the banks. They try to capture oil wells so they can make money by selling oil. They somehow try to provide people with public service, and their difference with Al-Qaeda is in these areas.
Now that the U.S. is leading a so-called coalition to, quote, degrade and destroy ISIL, let's take a closer look at America's disastrous track record when ostensibly dealing with terrorist organizations and promoting peace throughout the Middle East.
You know, that land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day because your fight will prevail and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again because your cause is right and God is on your side.
With the disappearance of the Soviet Union as an opposition, there was no more real enemy to oppose, and this was a crisis for the political economy of the United States. So rather than change and develop an economy based on some kind of global peaceful order, a new enemy was invented, and we were introduced to that enemy on a huge scale on 9/11.
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia, and we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union.
Now, ISIL seems to be the same people who, the foreign mercenaries who were sent in to destabilize and overturn the government of Syria. But it's been rebranded. And if anything has changed, there's been an addition of a powerful PR function. People who know how to use social media have been trained at Fort Bragg.
Our allies in the region were our largest problem in Syria. The Turks were great friends, and I have a great relationship with Erdogan, which I just spent a lot of time with. The Saudis, the Emiratis, etc. What were they doing? They were so determined to take down Assad and essentially have a proxy Sunni-Shia war. What did they do? They poured hundreds of millions of dollars and tens, thousands of tons of weapons into anyone who would fight.
My first qualification for the coalition was the coalition of the cowards, because most of them refused to say, look, we are actually going to bomb ISIS. There's some other qualification, coalition of the clueless, because they don't know where this is leading and could make the situation even worse.
And since we're on the topic of America's paradoxical foreign policy, we need to mention a perfect example which took place towards the end of the Iran-Iraq war. The Iranian military had spotted a weakness in the Iraqi defense. Yet before Iran could utilize this tactical information, the US tips off the Iraqi army, knowing full well that they would ambush the Iranians with chemical weapons. The US provides Iraq with satellite imagery pinpointing Iranian positions, and Saddam uses that info to massacre multiple battalions of young Iranian men with chemicalized weapons. That amounts to a war crime in most political roundtables.
Right now, we have more than 100,000 chemically injured people in Iran, and this shows that the mass killing done in Halabja was enormous, which totally destroyed the city's residents. Why did the West ignore this? And on the other hand, helps the invasion of Syria on the pretext of using chemical weapons in eastern part of Damascus, either by the government or the opposition.
And then ironically, less than two decades later, the US invades Iraq on the pretext that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. They invade the country, find no chemical weapons to back up their claim, kill Saddam, and send the country spiraling into chaos. The country gets divided along sectarian lines, and what emerges out of the ruins? Now, to take this convoluted situation and put it into perspective, we need to transcend the Middle East to trace the global influence of this group and its unfathomable appeal, drawing multinational contributors to ISIL. ISIL has attracted over 12,000 radicalized militants from over 81 countries fighting in Syria and Iraq. According to The Guardian, five people a week leave the United Kingdom for Syria and Iraq to join ISIL's ranks. ISIL's global media operation appears to have two key objectives: to provoke the US and its allies, and to recruit from outside the Middle East. Both seem to be working. In the former instance, the horrific videos of the beheadings of US journalists James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, and aid workers David Haynes and Alan Henning, have helped drag Western powers back into combat in the region.
With the Turks, with the Jordanians, with the Saudis, and with all the people in the region, attempting to identify the people who deserve the help so that when Assad goes, and he will go, there will be a legitimate government that follows on, not an Al-Qaeda-sponsored government that follows on.
They lie. Wallahi, we are the harshest towards the kuffar. And the flames of war are only beginning to intensify.
Most of these videos are distributed by the Al-Hayat Media Center, the new media arm for ISIL that was established in May of 2014. It's unclear exactly who's behind Al-Hayat, but it's thought to be the work of Abu Talha al-Almani, a former German rapper also known as Diso Dog, who left Europe to fight alongside ISIL in Syria. ISIL has been growing in numbers due to its aggressive recruitment campaign and, in many cases, forced membership. Many of the tactics employed in the recruitment process are very advanced and have been compared to those used by Nazi Germany during the Second World War. The group has also dramatized its conquests and achievements through images similar to the kind witnessed in Hollywood productions. ISIL glorifies violence and markets its cause, much the same way the West has weaponized propaganda to achieve its military goals. By utilizing this approach, the group has drawn on the most vulnerable of society's disenfranchised youth.
ISIS is extremely adept at a propaganda war. They are very slick. And obviously they studied everything that happened before from Al-Qaeda and from other Takfiri, extra Wahhabi, hardcore extremist groups. And they are more subtle. And in fact, they're even scarier. The way that they edited the beheadings, they didn't have to show blood. It didn't have to be aggressive. It was a very good piece of filmmaking, just suggesting fear. You show the blade on the neck, and then you show the severed head. So you're just suggesting fear, and the impact was enormous. Was much more of an impact if I had showed a lot of
gory, splashy fake blood on screen.
These views of the most concentrated release of explosive energy in the history of mankind.
America's answer to dealing with adversaries which have frustrated its military might has always been dropping bombs. From Hiroshima to Nagasaki to recent drone campaigns, on to the current coalition it's established, which is its primary centerpiece, yet another bombing campaign. Yet critics, and even the West itself as of late, have admittedly resigned to the fact that this strategy will work with ISIL.
Now, of course, the Islamic State is not Islamic, and it's not a state.
The Islamic literature insists on not intruding followers of divine faiths. And this is also repeated in the verses of the Quran. It says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ الدِّينِ. Your faith is yours and I have mine. One of the fundamentals of Islam is set in the Quran in this way, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There is no coercion in accepting the religion.
Meanwhile, people and communities continue to be annihilated while ISIL continues its savage push towards more conquests. The United Nations has announced that an estimated 1.2 million Iraqis have been forced to flee their homes. This includes Shias, Sunnis, Christians, Yazidis, Armenians, and Kurds. Now, is this a time to repeat the same policies and mistakes which led to the creation of ISIL? Now, does the Middle East really need countries outside the region to gamble with its stability? By training more madmen disguised as moderate rebels? And what next when we have to confront them tomorrow as extremists again? Like in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. If we may one day be fortunate enough to destroy the ISIL threat, are we practically guaranteed a new monster will emerge as long as the West and its allies continue to manipulate the Middle East?